Hello and welcome to our 47th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about developing plugins. Gutenberg 11 and WordPress 5.8 is getting close to release. I'm Birgit Polyha, curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Jagosz Czolkowski, code wrangler at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Hey, Jagosz, how are you doing today?
Hello, Birgit. Oh, so I feel awesome. You know, the weather is very, very strange in Poland this week. It was hot at the beginning, and yesterday we had like a heavy storm with lightnings. So I woke up two times during the night. It's quite unusual for me. So, you know, quite exciting week with a good ending. And I'm really happy that we are recording this episode that is just before WordPress 5.8 release. That is scheduled on July 20th.
July 20th, yes. And we have an awesome show for you today. We hope for you that it's also be a little bit shorter than the previous episodes that were almost an hour or even over an hour. So we hope to get back to our half an hour.
Let's see how it goes.
So true.
Yeah, so let's start with community contributions first. One of the posts that caught our attention is from Rich Tabor. He's a senior product manager and WordPress experience at GoDaddy. And he posted a primer on Gutenberg blog plugins for the WordPress blog directory. So this blog directory didn't get enough attention so far, but it's getting more interesting once the blog patterns directory evolves. So those two should be more popular in the future. So Rich, he walks us through the process of submitting his plugin to the WordPress directory. And he himself wrote Markdown comment block that allows you to add a block that is only visible inside the editor, and you can add your own comments using Markdown. And that's like a nice idea to like leave a note for yourself for the future, or just to share some ideas with your friends that maintain the same site. But Rich, he covers his experience of submitting this blog and, you know, how it looks in practice. And he encourages everyone to start treating this blog directory more seriously, because it will allow a lot of nice experience for the users in the future, because it allows to install the blog directly from the editor using the inserter, which is like a nice improvement to the flow.
Yeah, and so to just narrow it down, it's not the blog collections that have been in the plugin directory for the blog editor for ages now. Well, 2.5 years. It's the single block directory that goes into the into the inserter, where you can download, you can search and then download right there. I really love that block directory, because it only does one thing. The single block does one thing well, and you don't need to download 70 other blocks that are in some of the collections. So thanks for Rich to put this out again and remind the community that that is possible, and that it's actually a much better experience than having a block collection in the directory. In the same space as comment block, Ella van Dorp, developer on the Gutenberg team, she published a plugin for private note taking in WordPress. It's called Hypernotes, and Justin Tedlock covered it on the WordPress Tavern, so you can read about it there. But it's using your WordPress blog as your private note-taking space with categories, and using the Gutenberg plugin with it. And there were some new experimental PWA capabilities introduced in the plugin for the WordPress admin. And I know what PWA stands for, that's Progressive Web Apps, but what is the difference there, Jagosh?
So in fact, this PWA concept is a set of features that allow you to bring more integrations with the operating systems, like with the mobile phone or with the desktop. So one of the experiments that is already in the development branch of Gutenberg is the capability that allows you to install your website as a shortcut on the desktop or on the mobile. And this is for WP Admin specifically. And this is one of the first integrations that is possible. The others, there is also PWA plugin from Google. The Google is the company behind this whole concept that started to promote that a long time ago. And the plugin is maintained by Google with the help from Weston Reuter, former customizer maintainer, and also Alberto Medina from Google and Fox from XWP. And the plugin has a broader goal to bring other capabilities like offline support, exposing the special file called manifest that allows you to cache in on your computer JavaScript assets, styles, and also cache whole pages. So I'm using this plugin on my website, this PWA plugin from Google. And so what it does is when you visit one of these pages and you go to another, if you go back, it just serves it from the cache, from this manifest. So it doesn't need any network request to serve the page. It has a lot of limitations. So if you are using some external integrations like tracking pixel advertisements, it won't work quite well. But in general, like this is something that Ella is particularly looking into to allow that for WP Admin, which is much more contained on what's inside. So in the future, I guess her idea would be to have this Hypernotes plugin that works completely offline, and you can write your notes and send them to the server only when you connect again.
Yeah, it's really great to have that, because the local storage part is very interesting, especially when you go through, yeah, work on it in the tube, on the subway, or you have spotty connections on your mobile and you still are able to finish your work and all that. So I think that's a great progression, pardon the pun, for Gutenberg and going a little bit outside of what it is now for 5.6. And if you are interested in developing WordPress plugins, Alex Dandyford, he's a developer at Sandhills Development Company. Those are the guys behind the Restrict Content Pro, EDD, Easy Digital Downloads, and the Sugar Calendar. And he has started a site called WP Academy. And his first course is the WordPress plugin development course with all the new Gutenberg stuff in it. He also posted a blog post about the API fetch WordPress library, and he titled it "The WordPress Library You Didn't Know You Needed." And he goes much deeper into how you can use it not only for Gutenberg development, but also for the other parts of WAdmin or plugins. Can you?
Yeah, it's a general purpose library. So the idea is that there is window.fetch API in the browser. So this is a wrapper around that, which adds several features to this concept. And it allows better integration with WordPress. So it allows like pre-caching. So you can pre-cache some responses on the server and then just use that in the browser. Gutenberg uses that, for instance, for the post. So it's served already in the HTML. And then you just have it already available when you are trying to use that on the client. And there is more, I don't remember really, but It works really nice with other libraries that are built on top of that, like WordPress Core Data, which works with WordPress REST API. So, you know, if you want to use some network requests, this is definitely something that you could explore and see if that fits your use case. because it's something that will be supported by the WordPress core for long.
So, and if you want to dive into it, the post, Alex Standiford, of course, we will share it in the show notes. So that brings us to what's released, and WordPress 5.8 is in release candidate 2 next Tuesday. Today is Friday, July 9th. On next Tuesday, the release candidate 3 is scheduled. We're getting so close, and there are lots of changes again in this release. So if you are a plugin developer or theme developer, it's about time that you test all your products with the next version, WordPress 8. And the WordPress 5.8 field guide is out with a ton of development notes of all of that. So there are a ton of information about the blog editor, the template editor, the theme changes. Most of them are opt-in, except for the block-based widgets part. That is would be really important that you check on that. And users can install the classic widget plugin if they don't want to, or if it doesn't work well for them. It would be really, really helpful if you shared all the quirks and what doesn't work just right with the team, so the widget editor can get some fast iteration on that. It's also about the template editor, the landing page concept, the first version of the full site editing piece comes in, but that's opt-in. So only it won't be turned on for classic themes, will only turn on for those who have a block theme installed for those sites. And but you can use the theme JSON configuration and settings capabilities already in your classic theme as soon as you have a root theme a theme JSON file in your root directory, it will pick up on it. But there is more in 5.8. There's web P image support now comes to WordPress, which is really a jump into making images smaller. The images are smaller, loading page load speeds are getting faster. So it's definitely something that improves the web for everybody. And then there's also a little change for the plugin header and the update URI. So with plugin that are not in the repository, could potentially override those in the in your WP admin. That's now kind of fixed. The REST API changes and site health got some interface changes. The bundle theme, all of them, all the 20 themes that are bundled with WordPress get block patterns. So that's actually a great feature. So you don't have to change your theme if you're still on 2016 or 15 and you still get the block patterns. So those are just the highlights of the 5.8 release. Go read the field guide, read the dev notes. We will have on the Gutenberg Times, the last three weekend editions also had links to the dev notes regarding the block editor. So
yeah, I guess there will be more of those dev notes in your next newsletter because there were a few last week. And in general, I think that we could have a full episode only talking about this field guide and the changes coming to WordPress 5.8. It's one of the biggest releases ever, probably, and the number of dev notes is overwhelming. So if you have a free day, just reserve a whole day to read all the announcements. And probably that's not enough, and that's only, you know, the skimmed version of what's included. There is also a lot of developer-oriented changes that are highlighted in this field guide. So that's a lot to process. So definitely take your time and make sure that you at least are aware of the higher level changes.
Thank you. And those are only the dev notes, so developer notes. I know that the documentation team and Anne and Daisy, and they are working very hard to update the end user documentation also on the support pages. So you can actually read up about it quite early. And it's actually a first that Gutenberg end user documentation, it's going to be published around the release of the version. And that is basically thank to Anne McCarthy, who has spent the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days writing documentation. And I'm sure she's a little cross-eyed, but she does a phenomenal job. So kudos to Anne for.
Yeah, she's everywhere and she's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's great. True.
I guess we can now talk about Gutenberg and the 11 plugin release. And the release was released on July 7th, on Wednesday. And this release is focused mostly on stability, bug fixes, very, very small enhancements. And yeah, I guess this is also the time when the preparation for the next major release happens, so you can see a lot of issues created that I'm to cover what's next, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. And now let's jump into the enhancement section. So the biggest change that was introduced is that for the two special type of blocks, which is template parts and reusable blocks, this was quite confusing for users when they were editing inner blocks in there. So let's imagine you have a reusable block that have a couple of nested blocks, like a group. Inside this group, that would be, for instance, a column, and then there would be a paragraph, a heading, and so on. So the biggest confusion user had that once they went deep inside, they might lose the track if they are editing the reusable block or the template part, or they are just editing a regular content. So to mitigate that issue, there was a change introduced that brings an overlay to those blocks. So when you click for the first time on the block, it will just select the block. It won't go to the block that you are pointing at directly. So this feature existed before. I don't think it was ever released to the WordPress core, but it was in the plugin last year. And it works similar way, but for some reasons it was too heavy for like all the types of blocks, like columns, media and text, and the cover block. So, but in this particular case, I personally think that it's a great fit. Because that combined with the outline, blue outline that's added to those special blocks, gives you a better overview what you are actually editing in a given moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was not only once, but at least six or seven times where I changed my reusable block and said, oh, I didn't want to do that. I forgot to make it a regular block, yeah, kind of converted first. So I had the changes propagate over the whole site. And I was really happy about that. So this now prevents me from doing that, or at least have another mental block in there. A lot of enhancements were actually for the widget editor, and they mostly have to do with the legacy widget. The legacy widget is pulling in the classic widgets into the block editor, so you can edit them also with that. And so do you have any more information about that?
So I know that this particular block, it's only available for insertion on the widgets screen. So in the customizer or on the separate new widgets page. And yeah, in general, there is a lot of compatibility issues that need to be resolved. So I guess this is related to reports that were sent by users. I was on vacation for a week, so I didn't follow that so closely. But yeah, I guess that's all about.
And I think we will find a few more incompatibility issues once it's released into core. But the whole team is on standby to fix those very quickly. So another enhancement was for the media and text block, and it now allows the drag and drop media replacement for the media and text block. And I say yay to drag and drop, and yay for the media text block getting some love. Thank you. And then the global styles and templates received another enhancement, and is to allow, well, there are many, many more enhancements, but this one stands out to me, that it now allows longhand and shorthand properties for the theme JSON, meaning if you have a property, a style, like padding, you can do padding :0 or padding -left or padding -bottom or padding top to make that available in the CMJSON. I think that's was very missing before. There are also, go ahead.
There's two changes I wanted to cover that are related to the post about WordPress API fetch library. So there is a change in, this is a change to the wrapping library called WordPress core data. So we had a few issues with integrating REST API, because for the REST API, you can have different contexts. So there can be view, edit, and such. It depends really on the endpoint. And we struggled with that from the beginning. And because depending on how you call this REST API endpoint, it will return a different set of data. Even if that's the same like for the post with the ID, if you have a different context, then it will be, you know, something a bit different. So we didn't have that covered, and that was required for WordPress 5.8 to fix that finally, and the fix landed. And now you can just define this context when you want to bring something. And this allows us to remove direct calls to WordPress API fetch library. So it's, you know, some interesting context for that. And there's also an interesting change, because there is an improvement added, that there is window.abortController API in the browser that allows you to cancel a pending request. And that's now integrated with the same API fetch library. So, you know, that's another interesting weapon to use when you are dealing with some integration with Gutenberg.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially because then you can handle it also in your plugin or in your block, that you, if there's no reaction to the external service, what else you're going to do? And this is really nice and helped you with that. And then there's a new API in the WordPress 11 version, and you can now define a default template used for the template mode. So the template mode is a template editor, and when somebody clicks on edit, you can kind of give them a default or new. You can, as a theme developer, you now can give them a default template that has a few things already in there. They are not starting from scratch, and you have control over it.
It's such a nice improvement. Mm-hmm. And now we are in the bug fixes section, and this one is huge.
Oh my God.
It's nearly 70 items. And of course, there is a lot of bug fixes related to the widgets editor. Yeah. And there are two of them that are quite important. And I believe they were backported to WordPress 5.8 release. So first of all, the classic block got removed from the widgets editor. And because this is something that mostly exists for the backward compatibility with the post editor, so it didn't make that much sense in this context. And also blocks related to full site editing, that the new blocks that were introduced recently to the WordPress core, and they were disabled for the widgets editor. And the rationale behind that was that they didn't play really well in this context, because there have several dependencies that aren't covered in this specific screen. Or more importantly, I believe that was more for the customizer, which is another set of requirements. So those blocks were disabled there. So you won't be able to use query loop block or site title, site logo, and such blocks. And I believe that's for good for now. I hope that this will improve over time, and those blocks will be, those full site editing blocks will be enabled also on the screen. So to give the full capabilities of the experience.
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, there were a lot of, there were 24 bug fixes for the widget editor alone in this release, but the block library also, the query block got some bug fixes, the group block, as well as the button block. Now you can use the border support for the button block and the style and the classes, and the button block actually reacts to that even. And then the category block has two bug fixes, and then, so one of the FSE blocks, as you called it, Jagosh. It's the full site template editing blocks. There's the site title and the site title blocks tagline block. And one bug fix is that they are now a read in a read-only view when the user doesn't have the rights permission to change them, like an administrator would have. So that is now fixed.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I guess the testing initially was done mostly in the context of template editing, where you have this permissions. However, once you start using them inside the post, it's a different story, because there are so many levels of access for posts.
Yes, yeah, get this. So all of a sudden your editor or your authors could change the site title. You can't have that.
Yeah. I guess it still wouldn't be possible, but it was a bad experience for the user, because they would see some sort of errors when trying to save that.
I got it. Yeah. So there are many, many more bug fixes. I think we could talk about it another 3 hours. There's one that is you wanted to highlight, Jagosh, that's the fix the select all behavior in the editor.
Yes, just because it's a nice feature. So once you are in the block, if you click select all, it will select the text inside the block, if that's a paragraph or heading. Once you click, this shortcut for selecting all again, it will just select all blocks. So it wasn't quite working well, but it's pretty handy if it works as intended.
Well, is that the control A kind of select all behavior?
It depends on this operating system, right?
Right. Yeah.
Command A
at the Mac.
Yeah. On Mac.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but yeah. Okay, got it.
Now I know you can also use, if you are using the trackpad or mouse, there is also select all option. When you see this drop-down from the operating system. So there are several ways how you can access that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we come to a next section in the release notes that is concerning the WordPress core compatibility. And there was one thing that stand out. Well, it improved the script integration for WordPress core on the block library, and also had a unified handling for the block view scripts. That was all kind of updated. But there's another one that's auto-enabled the template editor for themes with a theme JSON only. We mentioned that before, that the theme editor is only an opt-in, and that's how you can opt-in if you have a theme JSON in your classic theme or a block theme enabled. Yeah. We come to the documentation settings. And of course, a lot of documentation have to do with the new features and the block editor, block API, the widget block editor. And there's also an architecture page that adds a schema explaining the relationship between the packages that comprise the post editor. And I think that is it's a huge undertaking to make that all visualize that. And I think it's a great first start if you kind of get new into block plugin development to learn how all those scripts at WordPress at edit post or WordPress data or WordPress block editor versus WordPress editor versus WordPress blocks have, how they are related to each other and what each of them do, because the names are not always show what it actually are used for.
Yeah, I think Riyad Bengala did an incredible great job here at covering that, because it's very difficult to explain how all those pieces fit together, and the visual representation speaks to most of the people. And it's not only helpful for core contributors when they want just to figure out how a given set of functionality, how it can fit in the bigger picture, but it's also good for plugin authors, because they can get a quick understanding of the pieces used inside, so they can just treat that as a reference and try exploring APIs in a given area that fits their use cases. And in general, it's also quite complex how this architecture has evolved. I remember the times when we had only 6 modules that were at the beginning. Now we have, I guess, 50 packages that interact with each other. So,
Do you mean 5-0?
Yes.
50?
Yeah, like
that's quite a
more.
Number, man. Yeah, but that also shows you there's a lot of behind-the-scenes foundation in the Gutenberg editor that is kind of pushed away outside of the normal use of the block editor. But it gets really, we'll share a link to the architectural schema in the show notes. Normally, we don't share any of the changelog items because we point to the release notes and do that. But this one I will share so you can find it quickly when you come back to your computer and want to follow up on something you hear on the podcast. All right. Oh, of course, another part of the documentation is the technical implementation details for the widgets in the customizer, because it's now combining two different architectures, the customizer architecture with the block architecture, and comes back to the widget customizer. And somebody called it kind of the Frankenstein API. Was it Ari? I'm not sure. But so the documentation about that is now available, and you can read up about it when you start bringing your widgets to the customizer, or convert your block your widgets to blocks and then see them in the customizer.
Whatever you call it, Frankenstein or not, it's alive.
It's alive, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that brings us to the code quality section, and this one is getting bigger with every release. I guess this is also the nature of those plugin releases that are during the release cycle of WordPress, because they are more focused about improvements than about creating new features. And one of the things I wanted to highlight is the end-to-end test that was written. It was written by Ella van Durp. And it's interesting because it ensures that integration with third-party scripts for blogs works with the iframed editor. And it's also a good example if you want to check how to do such integration for the blog, if you would like to develop one. So, you know, like end-to-end test is not only ensuring that the integrations work, but also it's, from my perspective, a great way to check how some things can be done, because for some of those tests, there are small plugins created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent.
And there is also a change that promotes one of the linting rule in JavaScript code base. So that's the change that was introduced, like it took several months to start referencing data stores inside Gutenberg by their imports from the packages that export them. So like for instance, the block editor, it has a store that allows you to interact with the block editor. And if you want to use in the plugin, there is two ways. You can use the hard-coded name when you are using API from WordPress data, like use select or use dispatch. But you can also use a direct import. There's a store variable that you can import. And this brings more benefits to the core, but it's also fine for plugins, especially if you are using WordPress scripts and build capabilities available there, because it will ensure that all the dependencies that you need to ensure that your scripts work properly will be automatically brought. So when you are using hard-coded strings, it's not possible. And we struggle with that in core, and it's now all fixed. That's why we could finally enable this rule, and that will prevent those type of occurrences in the future.
Well, that's awesome. That, yeah, automatic testing, and especially on code quality and linting, it's really helpful when you start writing code for blocks or for Gutenberg, yeah, because and there's one mistake already eliminated. In the tools section, there are quite a few changes as well for testing, for CSS styling, again, for linting and workflows, but you wanted to highlight for our listeners the Emotion 11 upgrade.
Yeah,
what's
just wanted to highlight, because this is related to the work on the UI for the global stars. So there is a team that works on bringing new set of components, UI components, and behind the scenes, they are using Emotion library, which provides a CSS in JS solution. So if someone wants to get familiar with that, I recommend checking this library. And it was brought to the most recent version. So I just wanted to highlight that this concept exists and it's only inside WordPress components package. And the reason why the decision was made to use this approach, which is completely different to all other places in WordPress core, because it's, instead of using CSS file, that is, you know, bring to the user in the browser with the link tag. Instead, it's JavaScript that injects everything using the most recent browser APIs. And this allows for better integration, mostly for people who use WordPress components outside of the block editor inside the WordPress. So let's imagine if you want to create a sub page inside WP Admin and you would like to use WordPress components, this would, if you would like to build, like use only the subset of components with this CSS in JS solutions, you won't need to bundle all existing CSS. It will just pick whatever you need. So that's a save for the bandwidth when you are using those solutions outside.
Yeah, and that's a part of the whole development phase to bringing the G2 components that Q started last year. And Mark and I, we talked quite a bit on it in earlier episodes when they first started on creating those. And now it's coming into Gutenberg. And so sooner or later, all the components are actually, there are a few components still missing or need to still be created. But that will, I don't know if there, what's the roadmap for it, but it will come to the WordPress WP admin with that as well, yeah, to use those components. So I'm really excited about that because all of a sudden you can make your plugin settings pages and all the other pages that you, look like Gutenberg and you don't have to come up with your own interface and it's a unified interface for the users. So I'm so happy that this is coming along. It's still ways to go, but yeah, keep an eye on it. All right.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the experiment section is so small this time. It looks like everything that was experimental was moved to WordPress core and it's now considered stable. So we have only 6 items on the list for the navigation block and the editor and for the site editor. But those seem like small changes.
Yeah, it seems more like bug fixes than enhancements. And it's of course clear that in the last 4 weeks, everybody was really fixed on the widget editor and the template editing experience, which is part of the site editor. But yeah, you're right. They are out of the experiment stage and they are now coming to core. But I know that quite a few are actually in the background are working on getting the navigation block and the navigation editor ready to be migrated to core in a later version. But that's the focus. And then, of course, the rest of the site editing experience, the full site editing experience, which is will go into high gear right after the WordPress 5.8 is released, I would think. Speaking of which, so this brings us to the end of the Gutenberg 11 version release notes. And now we are heading into the section what's in active development beyond 5.8. And Matthias Ventura updated his milestones issue on GitHub. And he has updated in various ways.
Yeah, I think he created a new one because the old one was like huge and it had like 6 or 7 sub milestones and it was a lot of work, but most of the work is already done. So it was more practical to close the old one. And so he shared high level items for now. So there is a few sections. So one is general improvements. So this is related to existing functionalities like alignments, the query loop block, the list view, which is the old navigation view. or Moat, I don't remember the name.
Block Navigator was the...
Block Navigator, yes.
Yeah.
And there is also an issue that describes a new browse mode that is going to be worked on. But the other parts that are something that you should be already familiar with if you are following along our podcast, it's the template editor, patterns, styling, like styling, I mean here global styles and similar stuff, and the navigation block and the navigation editor screen.
Yeah, so you can definitely comment on that. You can follow up. There are some sub links to issues, like if you want to talk about the list view or want to see what's happening with the list view or the query loop there. He had some links to the sub issues there. Robert Anderson also highlighted or posted a issue, the widget editor refinements beyond 5.8. And it's, of course, part of it is to smooth out the rough edges in the UI, better supporting of the implementing traditional style and widget layout, and then improve performance and stability, knowing that there were just in this release 24 bug fixes for the widget editor. There's definitely room for improvement on that. And then improve extensibility. And that's the last part is once it's all stable, how can plugin developers, theme developers tap into the widget editor to include additional features or manipulate it for their theme and plugins. Definitely worth a read, and we'll share them in the show notes.
Yeah. I think that you should also expect a post, a monthly occurrence of the what's next in the Gutenberg plugin in development. And so probably most of the items will be covered there, but I haven't seen this post yet. So I probably it's still in works because of WordPress 5.8 and all the work necessary.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, on Wednesday, during the editor meeting, core editor meeting, so if you want to have a in Slack channel, hashtag core-editor, Hector mentioned that he is preparing the post, but he wanted to wait until 5.8 is out and then also cover not only July, but actually cover it for August and have the July focus like it is, yeah, on the widget editor and get WordPress 5.8 out of the door and yeah, and then prepare for the next release. Speaking of which, the Anne McCarthy published a high-level feedback or a summary of the high-level feedback from the full site editing program, just to cover all what happened in July, and with links to issues, explains where some of the problems still lie that come out of the testing experience and the various testing calls. So one is to improve the settings experience. There are certain things that need to be worked on, have to do with the query block, the columns block, and how they behave in the editor, then also make the editing modes distinct. And Matthias kind of picked up on that. So when are we editing a site or template part? When are we doing content? When how do we edit in the query block? And there are some refinements certainly necessary, especially for the placeholders and initial configuration steps when a user accesses that part of the website totally new, and how they get into it and learn their way around it. Also solidify the what you see is what you get experience and the desire for preview content. So there is the preview part is still a little bit in the works because right now there is no front end preview. It's just a preview in the editor, and that didn't seem to satisfy all the testers' needs in to figuring out what they did and what they didn't do and how it looks on the front end. Also, of course, has to do with the discrepancy between what you see in the editor and what you see in front end. And on both sides, there is work to be done, and it's also planned, of course. And then ensure reliability, robustness, and the saving process. There was some inconsistent behavior noticed when multi-entity saving. So you maybe see it in the reusable block right now, that when you change the reusable block and you go over to publish, there's a little dot next to it. I think that's visually too subtle. to see that there are, oh, we have multiple entities that we touched. Yeah, we touched this template part and this template part, and then the reusable block and the content of the post, and everything is going to be saved on one published thing. So I think there's some refinements to be done. And then, of course, increased usability and of the overall experience is another chapter in this long post by Anne McCarthy. And she does a phenomenal job leading us all along on that program and how to get feedback to the developers and also discuss a few things, how they can be better, or if the developers don't know how to solve those because they have multiple options, to kind of pick the best options that they can do. All right. Anything else you want to point out, Jagosz?
No, I just to circle back on this post, I think that's a phenomenal job on the side of combining everything together, because this is just a collection of links to some existing issues that were already reported, and some of them are worked on, some of them are more difficult to tackle, some of them will smooth out the experience quite easily. And you know, it's just seeing that so much thought was put into grouping them and finding a good solution to like bring the clarity of what can be worked on. And I agree with most of the items immediately without even going to the issue, that it's something that should be tackled. So that's really a great job. And you don't see that very often in the regular flow when some individual contributors raise an issue, and you then struggle with this first step of combining together similar issues, ensuring that they are actionable and so on. So it's like, you know, it's like you can imagine like having a 1,000 of issues, like, you know, processes by N, and just you have like, I don't know, 20, 30 issues that are on point, and they will ensure that the next release cycle for the major WordPress release will be really productive.
Well, and what Anne McCarthy did was summarizing all the experiences that people brought back to the in the program while they were going through 7 and 8 testing calls. And I think the summary of everybody who went through the experience is what Anne actually published here. So it's not that she made it up out of her own mind and said she's product manager. No, it's all coming from the community. And she had, and some of the testing calls were translated into Italian, and some of them are translated into Japanese. So also from outside the English-speaking community, there was some great feedback, and some meetups did group testings. So it's the summary of all these initiatives that happened in the community and that are in that post. It's not just from one person. Yeah? And I really like this experimental outreach program for new features. And I hope we have a few more of those in the upcoming year for additional features that are coming to the full site editing experience. So great job in putting the first experiment out there and bringing that back to the developers and focus on those things. Yeah,
just one thought. So, you know, I said that there's like 1,000 issues, because this is what I exactly meant. This is actual reports for the user, for the meetup groups and so on. So that, like, at the moment we have over 3,000 issues reported on GitHub for the Gutenberg project. And that's a lot. And it's nearly impossible for a single person to make a good judgment what to work on. And whereas here, it's like this pre-work. It's like if you would just say that you no longer can send any issues to the Gutenberg repository, but it goes to Anne, she processes that and she brings that back. It's like, you know, like this step, that is something that I would love to see more from other folks in the community, like being on this side of combining. Like the triage team is doing a lot of work, but it's not enough, because it's not something that like 10, 20 people can do. It's something that needs to be coordinated with so many people. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And there was never a good solution for that so far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that also helps. Yeah. If you are a WordPress contributor and you have a few hours to contribute every week and you want to make the biggest impact, yeah, go through some of those summary posts and pick the issues that are linked in them so you can work on them and actually make a real difference. It's a different approach than some other developers most of the time do in open source projects, is that they have a personal itch to scratch, and it's what they wanted to have in the software most or the strongest. And this is kind of turning it a little bit on the user-focused side and say, okay, this is what the users tell us they really, really need, and can we work on those? So it's a different approach on that, and I really like that that is now happening, and it's available to contributors to answer the question, what should I work on? It's the most asked question in the open source projects. And then some people say, well, you work on what you want. And that is not helpful if you can point to some of those posts and say, well, there are six different areas you could work on. Grab an issue in there. It's much more streamlined and more satisfying for a new contributor or an old contributor. Yeah.
So yeah, definitely if you go and pick one of those issues, you will make a great impact on the user experience for the people who maintain the 30% of all websites on the web. So that's a huge group to, you know, like something you should aspire for. So I know you can make a huge impact by doing some other changes, but those will impact the daily lives.
Yeah, and that's a good point to end our show on. So we take listener questions. So if you want to, you have questions about what we're talking about, just send you an email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com, or you can catch either one of us on Twitter. Our DMs, direct messages, are open. My Twitter handle is BPH, and Jagosh's Twitter handle is Gziolo, Gziolo. And if you like the show, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes or Stitcher or any other podcast directory. It helps more, and we would like to connect with you. It's the only way we can connect with you and your emails when you send them in. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. Scroll to the number 47. And if, as I said, if you have questions, suggestions, send them, or news that you want us to publish, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com, changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So thank you, Greg. So good to see you and talk to you about this great new release and WordPress. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend. It's Friday and it's evening in Poland, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's about to be dark.
Yeah.
So it's not so fun, but it's a weekend, so it's great. So thank you, Birgit, for another great show, and see you in 2 weeks.
And thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.